Sun Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Five Memphis police officers are on the other side of the law today, in jail and facing murder charges for a deadly traffic stop earlier this month. CBS's Bradley Blackburn has details.
Five former Memphis police officers who encountered Tyre Nichols during a violent traffic stop are now in police custody. Court documents show they are facing felony charges. Nichols was pulled over on January 7th, accused of reckless driving. He died from his injuries 3 days later. Nichols' mother has seen video of the encounter.
All I heard my son say was, "What did I do?"
The officers were fired last week for breaking protocol during that stop. In South Carolina, we're now hearing the initial police response in Alex Murdaugh's double murder case. The former lawyer is accused of killing his wife and 22-year-old son.
Did you check them?
We got medical guys that are, that's what they're going to do, okay?
What are they doing? Can they hurry?
They are, yes, sir. That gentleman that was out here already, he's one of the battalion chiefs, okay?
Police testified in court today. Murdaugh was crying, but they didn't see actual tears. Prosecutors believe he murdered his family to distract from financial crimes. The FBI has helped break up a big ransomware gang known as The Hive. FBI Director Christopher Wray.
Going after their infrastructure, going after their crypto, going after the people who work with them here, getting the keys and making those available. But it also includes hunting people down.
He says the network targeted victims worldwide. An FDA panel's weighing in to whether to make COVID vaccines a yearly shot. Here's CBS's Michael George.
FDA scientists say many Americans now have sufficient pre-existing immunity because of vaccination, previous infection, or a combination of both, giving them what should be enough protection to move to annual boosters. The agency is also considering transitioning to a single vaccine composition rather than different configurations for the primary series and booster doses.
NASA paid tribute to astronauts who died in the line of duty.
I'm Peter King at the Kennedy Space Center. The ceremonies come almost 20 years to the day that Shuttle Columbia broke apart during reentry. Its seven crew members were killed just 16 minutes before their scheduled landing.
Michael P. Anderson.
Columbia investigation found that NASA's acceptance of problems with the shuttle helped lead to the accident. Four-time shuttle astronaut Bob Cabana says today's NASA is much different.
When something isn't right, we take action and we actually listen to what people are saying and do the right thing.
24 other men and women were also remembered with the toll of the bell. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I love working on my cars, but I wish I had more space for my shop.
Give General Steel a call. In business for over 30 years and with over 5,000 five-star customer reviews, General Steel can help with projects ranging from RV storage and garages to churches, workshops, and even major construction for Fortune 500 companies. And all General Steel custom buildings are backed by our 50-year warranty.
But that's got to cost a fortune.
Actually, General Steel buildings are more affordable than other building options. And thanks to our highly efficient construction, you can go from dreaming it to enjoying it in no time.
I need to give the General a call. How do I get more information?
Call 866-96-STEEL or visit mygeneralsteel.com to find out what General Steel can do for your home or business. That's 866-96-STEEL. Our team will answer your questions and offer you a customized quote. Just call 866-967-8335 now or mygeneralsteel.com.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater has their next studio theater performance this weekend. Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf will be on the stage on Friday, January 27th and Saturday, January 28th at 7 p.m. This full-length, three-act play takes place in George and Martha's home after a faculty party. The couple falls into fighting, and then their guests show up. The story of tragedy, despair, sadness, and love continues from there. Director's showcase plays in the Studio Theater are intended for mature audiences. They may contain adult language and content. If you don't have broadband where you live, now is the time to correct the map. The Federal Communication Commission's draft of the National Broadband Map can be challenged by anyone. Check your address to see if they think you have services that are not available to you. Federal funding will be allocated to build up the broadband infrastructure to make sure everyone has access. Visit broadbandmap.gov. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 25. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight, lows dip down to about 11. Cloudy tomorrow, snow likely, highs level off around 32. About an inch of snow tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 25.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Guys of the galaxy, beware! The Defender of the Universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke Bryan!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents, a Thursday edition of some tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. He's Brian Kelly. How you doing, big guy?
I'm all right. It's not just any Thursday. It's the better enjoy the snow while you can Thursday. It's a what else is going on today, Thursday? Oh yeah, we're doing the $1 million giveaway.
Yeah,
we're doing them, and it launched this morning to a barrage. A barrage of people. It seems to be going very well. I don't want to throw out any things. I'm just going to tell you, go to civicmedia.us/million and sign up right away because it is going fast.
There is a lot of interest in the advertising that we are giving away today, Brian.
Yeah, if you haven't heard or for some reason have been living under a rock, Civic, because we've been blasting it everywhere. Civic Media is giving away $1 million in free advertising, and if you're a business of any kind whatsoever, just go to civicmedia.us/million, and you can sign up today only, and you can sign up to have your ads run on Civic Media. I know a couple of friends of mine who've done so, there's a lot of people around the state doing so. It's the thing you should take advantage of. It's a month of free advertising. Why not try it and see if it works for you? So yeah, tell them Dueling Tangents sent you.
I was going to say that's the most important thing today.
There is a drop down. Yeah, again, I've used a lot of tactics to go and get people to sell, but right now all I got to tell you is, you know, if you're listening on Dueling Tangents, you hear about this, go down and check it out. Scroll down and hit Dueling Tangents when they ask you what show you heard it on, and get it in there quick, because
we are but 1 hour on this network, Brian, but we are a mighty hour.
Listen, let's go down the list. I mean, we've gotten Ron Johnson's people to tweet in real time in response to what we've talked about.
We finally got Frederick Prenn to resign from the Natural Resources Board. I'm going to take credit for
our campaign. Yeah, I might as well. Our campaign to remove Fred Prenn really helped out. Mm-hmm. Honestly, we closed his dental practice years before we even started the show. So that part was really awesome. Powerful.
This is some George Santos-esque like bragging rights.
Honestly, I got to give a lot of credit to George Santos. He's really been a friend and a mentor
just
to
a pioneer.
Here.
Yes, a pioneer here on Dueling Tangents.
Yeah.
But yes,
he actually was a pioneer. He actually came out and settled half of Wisconsin.
He is now amending those FCC or FEC federal. I think it's, I forget which agency oversees it that he's FEC filing.
Not gonna be an agency anymore when the Republicans take over, huh?
He's got some questions to answer about that $700,000 personal loan that he lent his campaign, but he's not answering those questions. But we've got some headlines here that we're going to jump into closer to home, Brian. But again, it is the $1 million advertising giveaway. Take advantage, one day only. Let them know that Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian sent you. And get a portion of the $1 million in free advertising we are giving away today only. If you're listening to this in a podcasted version tomorrow, I'm so sorry. You missed the chance. But if you're listening live today or listening to a podcast later in the day on Thursday, January 26th, as a gentleman waves to me through the Solidarity Realty Studios windows here on Madison's
New York. I'm pretty sure that gentleman just signed up.
Yeah, maybe. But you can head over to the website.
That's the only reason to be so happy today.
There's only a couple more hours left in the day. You're going to want to not miss your chance to sign up and be a portion of the giveaway. And there's been some real intense, you know, friendly competition going on, Bri.
Yeah.
Todd Alba earlier on his show showed up in a suit coat and a bow tie for his show with he was doing the whole bit, the $1 million giveaway. And
I think Todd's just trying to did he tell you to mention that? Because I think he's just trying to drop subtle hints a lot.
No, but he called us
when I was in the office last. he said, should I wear like a suit? Because I was in just my jumpsuit because I'm like, I'm going to crawl around and get wires and be in the middle of a shack. So yeah. I'm going to put together something in the middle of a shack. I'm wearing that outfit. And he's like, I think I'm going to dress up. I guess, you know, again, one more thing. Dueling Tangents is influencing people to dress up.
Yeah.
Even no, we don't.
We took on the friendly wager of a six-pack of favorite Wisconsin brew for whose show does better today during the giveaway. So if you like Todd,
have you
can also say
yet?
The Todd Alba Show. Have I opened what?
No. Have you opened it yet?
He hasn't purchased it yet for us, but we'll get there soon.
Oh, okay. I'm just...
it's a great friendly competition. We're really excited to... have all the small businesses that are signing up today to get the chance to work with the Civic Media sales team, craft a message that will work for their small business, and to broadcast it across the state of Wisconsin on a Civic Media radio station closest to them. Because it's not just Madison and Waukesha. It's all around the state. Wisconsin Rapids, Amory, Green Bay, Oshkosh, everywhere. We are popping up all around Wisconsin.
From everywhere.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So civicmedia.us/million. And Brian, thinking about... something that's going on for all Wisconsinites. We've got a state Supreme Court race coming up in just about 4.5 weeks. February 21st will be the primary election for the state Supreme Court race, and it's coming up quick.
The ads have already begun. I've seen Janet Protasiewicz everywhere and billboards around when I drive around in the Milwaukee town to Waukesha. She's been running for like 14 years, so... or it seems so, anyway. At least in political years, she's
all these election cycles get drawn out longer and longer and longer.
She announced a long time ago, yeah. But she's been out ahead of the game, and she's doing a great job because everybody knows about her.
And I mean, nothing was as bad as Tom Nelson launching before the 2020 race that he was running against Ron Johnson, and that one was tough. That was a campaign that went really, really long. So these cycles are only getting longer and longer, Brian, but this one's pretty abbreviated. And yes, it may seem like it's been going on for a real long time, but I think that's a little bit of the jet lag from the fact that the November midterms wrapped up so close to this one getting underway and starting to gain steam. Yeah. And we have four candidates across the political spectrum. It is a nonpartisan race, but there is still a partisan spectrum that these candidates get judged on. And I think it's going to be... It's a four-way race, and it's hard to tell right now which way this race is going to shake down. There are two conservative-leaning candidates, two liberal-slash-progressive-leaning candidates. And today, we have a news story out about... an interesting dynamic. And so we don't want to speculate. That is one thing we don't do here at Dueling Tangents. We try to lay out the facts. We try to discuss these
issues. If we do speculate, we'll clearly tell you we're speculating or we'll attribute it to George Santos. But this one, I'm not going to joke about. Let's get into the facts.
Yeah, so Daniel Bice with a piece over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel A UWM student died of fentanyl poisoning. Here's why his family has questions for Supreme Court candidate Jennifer Darrow. Now, Jennifer Darrow was the presiding judge for the Darryl Brooks Jr. case that was widely televised, the Waukesha Parade tragedy, last fall. And with that pretty quick celebrity, she then launched a campaign for this state Supreme Court race that is coming up with its primary in just a matter of weeks. And, Brian...
To be clear, if I was her and I was in her position and I ever thought about running for that, that was the exact time to do it, because you're not going to have any more ripe of a time than that to do so. So, again, from my point of view, good job. Keep going, please.
So, she... A lot of people speculated at the time while the trial was going on that she would be running, and lo and behold, she announced her candidacy pretty quickly after that verdict was rendered in Waukesha County Court. And... Daniel Bice now outlines a what I think is, I don't want to speculate, but I think it is an important aspect for how the criminal justice system in Wisconsin can be different for depending on who you are. And so the details of the story surrounds the reason why it's being talked about now, not only because Judge Darrow is running for state Supreme Court, but at a recent political nonpartisan campaign event for this seat, she was confronted by the father of a student at UW-Milwaukee that passed away due to fentanyl poisoning back in November of 2021. And when asked and told who she was receiving questions from, the candidate left in a hurry, Brian. And it seems interesting that there hasn't been more developments in this story over the 15 months that the UW-Milwaukee Police Department have investigating the events surrounding this fentanyl poisoning. And
now,
go ahead.
Why did the father of this victim confront Judge Darrow?
Because it seems that Judge Darrow's son may have had a potential connection with this father's son that has since passed away. And it seems like the two had a relationship at UWM and knew each other, but there hasn't been a whole lot of progress made in investigating the fentanyl poisoning for this individual 15 months ago. And so this father is looking for closure, looking for answers, looking for resolution, it seems. And we're going to continue giving you updates with what's going on in this story. There's been statements out on behalf of Judge Darrow and some of the students that were involved back on UWM's campus in November of 2021. But Brian, it's very interesting when you view this through the lens of the criminal justice system, the courts, and justice here in Wisconsin. Because the Supreme Court is what is on the ballot this February and April, and I think we got to talk about this story.
Yeah, and we're gonna give you details from the actual article itself, because I don't want to speculate.
Yeah.
I want to give you exactly what has been reported. So we'll come back with that, and we're going to have a great time either way. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
Money, it's a crime.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crew to tase at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were Crudy Takes.
Crudy's Takes. See, man? It all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg, left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and pull-down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit hfotusa.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke, he's Brian. You're listening to the program across Civic Media. If you want to join us, share a tangent, 844-967-2789. Brian, $1 million advertising giveaway taking place one day only, today, across Civic Media. Go to the website, civicmedia.us/million. And we're discussing right now an article written up by Daniel Bice over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, outlining the events that took place here in Madison at a campaign event for Waukesha County Judge Jennifer Darrow in her bid for the Wisconsin Supreme Court earlier this month. And so, reading from the piece, as Bice outlines, Wanakee resident David Reddington never thought he'd get a chance to ask state Supreme Court candidate Jennifer Darrow directly about the fentanyl death of his son, Cade. But there they were on January 10th at Pedro's Mexican Restaurant in Madison. Reddington, a semi-retired independent insurance adjuster, had arrived for dinner and Darrow was speaking at a Dane County Republican Party Pints and Politics gathering. Near the end of the event, Reddington introduced himself to Darrow, a Waukesha County judge, who is one of the four candidates running for Supreme Court in next month's primary. After a bit of small talk, Reddington said he got to the point of the conversation. Quote, "Look, I want you to know who I am. I'm David Reddington, the father of Cade Reddington." Reddington said Darrow withdrew immediately and said, "I'm not talking to you," shortly before exiting the restaurant. So that was the nature of the events that unfolded at this political gathering that the candidate did not want to even have a discussion in private or anything like that with this individual that was, again, in my opinion, looking for closure. And Bice goes on to detail throughout this article accounts of the Reddington family reaching out to Darrow in an attempt not to accuse or anything of that nature, but to try to get some assistance in moving along the 15-month investigation into his son Cade's fentanyl poisoning from November of 2021.
Yeah. I don't fault anyone for having a son that has any sort of drug issues. This happens all the time, especially with parents with high prominent jobs. Her husband works for the Department of Homeland Security, from what I understand. She's a judge. It's, you know, having parents in those positions, there's a lot of rebellion and things like that. The kid's like 20, between 20 and 22 years old.
He was an 18-year-old. He was 18-year-old freshman.
Now he's like,
Oh, at the time of these events, I believe he was 18.
But point is that one, you're gonna run for Supreme Court, right? You're gonna know that this is gonna come out because it's public record, and then you can figure this out. And people are clearly willing to talk and wanting to talk in public about it. So you have to know this is coming. So if this is what you got when you know that these things are coming, I don't know that that's a really good political strategy, one. Two, the things that Daniel Bice brings up aren't necessarily that, oh, this kid's a jerk or whatnot, but one, who's paying for the attorney for her son? How does that get worked out? This poses ethical questions as far as, you know, the justice goes. Did she, there was a situation where there was a picture up with the kids, her son, with the deceased kid's,
his arm around the neck of the deceased individual.
And that was since deleted. Was that under the advisement of one of the parents? Probably, but is this legal counsel? Is this, you know, ethical counsel? Is this trying to save face or whatnot? How does this work out? This is the ethical question that gets raised, and that's the problem. It's not that there is an ethical problem. The problem is you have to prove there isn't one now.
Well,
you know what I mean?
In a statement earlier today, Judge Darrow put out saying, I understand that by putting my name on the ballot, I invited scrutiny about myself and my actions. My children aren't running for office, and they and every candidate's kids should be off limits. We need to restore a sense of decency in our elections. And
isn't she supported by the Hunter Biden crowd? Just saying.
That's an interesting dynamic. I think,
you know what I mean?
If the shoe was on the other foot, Brian, do you believe that conservative candidates would be going after liberal candidates for a similar story? Because
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But two, you brought up something else, and we'll talk about this when we come back, but not a sides issue, but what about, like, I don't know, other people that had to deal with something with fentanyl, like Quadrin Wilson? You brought him up.
Yeah. In preparing for the show, fentanyl is a major problem across the country right now. Here in Wisconsin and across the country, fentanyl is a public health crisis in many regards. And the fact that when fentanyl is involved in a story, in some instances, it draws out to be a 15-month investigation. And in other instances, it ends up with an unarmed black man shot 5 times in the back. I think it's important to talk about how the criminal justice system and how individuals are investigated, and I believe everybody is innocent until proven guilty. I'm not trying to speculate that I think that there was any wrongdoing by the judge's son. Even if there was,
how she handles that situation is what is the issue at hand here, not necessarily her son.
Right.
Did her son get a leg up in the justice system because he was her son? That's what's at issue.
There are two criminal justice systems here in Wisconsin and in the United States of America. And I think when you discuss stories that involve fentanyl, there is a stark contrast between those two systems of justice. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke, he's Brian. You can give us a call, 844-967-2789.
The Shaw, 101 FM. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Pride.
Left corner, 3 in the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
The Arts Council presents the Wisconsin Brass Quintet at the Performing Arts Center of Wisconsin Rapids, Thursday, February 2nd. The Wisconsin Brass Quintet is a faculty ensemble in residence at the Mead Witter School of Music at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Get your tickets anytime at saveofthearts.org or call 715-424-2787. Thank you to the Mead Witter Foundation for sponsoring the outreach program associated with this performance. The Wisconsin Brass Quintet with the Arts Council, your performing arts connection.
Could there be a better name? Auto Value Parts Stores. They aren't just about air fresheners or fuzzy dice. Auto Value Parts Stores are all about parts, auto parts, and advice. Pros who know auto parts with tons of tips when you need them the most. You want real value? Don't go to a place with a cute name. Go to Auto Value. Could there be a better name? I didn't think so. Your Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work alongside Civic Media's amazing sales team to create a custom radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. The $1 million advertising giveaway today only. There are some rules. Go to civicmedia.us/million.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg. Blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broke in two. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Mark your calendars for blood drives coming up in February in Wisconsin Rapids. Twice a month, the Blood Center of North Central Wisconsin has blood drives at the former East Junior High School on Tuesday, February 21st from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. and Monday, February 27th from 2 to 7 p.m. Donations will be collected in the music room at the former East Junior High School located at 311 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids. You can make an appointment or just show up. Again, that's February 21st and 27th. New drivers in Wisconsin got to skip their road tests during the pandemic. Now the DMV wants to make its driving test waiver permanent. The DMV says 87% of new drivers got a waiver since May of 2020. That's more than 108,000 drivers. There's plenty of concern that not testing new drivers on the road makes driving more dangerous. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 25. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows dip down to about 11. Cloudy tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs level off around 32. About an inch of snow tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 25.
An episode of The Apprentice. Never once.
Honestly, and I'm not. It shouldn't.
Never saw the appeal. Never saw the appeal.
You never saw the what?
I never saw the appeal to the show. Like I was not interested one bit.
So it was just something that Amy and I were watching. This is earlier on in our relationship when we had copious amounts of time. Now we don't, which is fine. So we pick and choose. So we actually have some. But now we're like, let's watch that and that and that. And that sounds great. So we were watching The Celebrity Apprentice for like a season or two. And it shouldn't be like this, but it actually gave me insight into Trump's presidency.
Oh, I'm sure it did.
Like, and then especially when I went back and found out that the executive producer, who's also the executive producer for a whole bunch of different shows, Survivor and namely Big Brother, one of my favorites, It essentially made Donald Trump who he was, because Donald Trump never paid attention to any of the contests, never paid attention to anything during the week, just basically went to the boardroom and then listened to people babble to him, and then he just decided who he was going to fire. And then they would
just talked to him last, essentially.
Whoever. Yeah, but then they would reverse edit the entire show to make it look like that person was an idiot or deserved to be fired or justify that person getting fired.
Yeah.
And they'd edit out all the parts where the people were talking bad about that one person and then show those. It's amazing how these things work. Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, money, 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 because we are giving away some money today, Brian. $1 million to be exact in the $1 million advertising giveaway that is taking place today only. Portal opened at 9 a.m., but it's still open right now. You can go to civicmedia.us/million. Yeah, time is running out. So you want to go over to the website, let them know that let Civic Media know that Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian sent you, and you can sign up to win a portion of the $1 million in free advertising our sales team is giving away. So civicmedia.us/million. And Brian, before we jump back to the story, let's head over to the phone lines. We got Bob in Sauk City calling in. Bob, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, hi guys, Sauk City Bob here.
How are you doing today, Bob?
Welcome.
Well, pretty good. Say, I'm really glad you're talking about the Jennifer Darrow story that Daniel Bice put in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I think Darrow should immediately withdraw from the Supreme Court race. Immediately.
Yeah, and why do you believe that, Bob?
Because, first of all, she's a perfect example of the hypocritical conservative. All conservatives say they believe in law and order and cracking down on drugs. And it's pretty clear when you read the story that her son is a drug dealer. There's no question about it.
Well, it seems like the UW-Milwaukee police are still investigating this event that led to the untimely death of an 18-year-old student at UW-Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And
how long have they been investigating?
For 15 months. This was November of 2021. Yeah. This incident took place.
Right. So you know what they're doing. They're protecting Darrow. She's the hero judge of the Waukesha Christmas Parade. They don't want anything to besmirch her. They're protecting her.
And we don't know that for sure, Bob. But it does. It seems to be that the UW-Milwaukee Police Department is at a crossroads right now with this story coming out. And this probably is speculation, because I believe there will be more public pressure. This was a big story when it came out. UW-Milwaukee's campus added Narcan boxes to campus dorms in the aftermath of this event, because I believe there was a second fentanyl poisoning, not related to the events of this one, but they were very close on campus that fall, and UWM overhauled its procedures for how to deal with fentanyl overdoses in lieu of this event. 15 months later, I have a feeling there will be more public pressure to find out the details that led to Cade Reddington's untimely death in November of 2021.
Now, I want to be very, 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 very clear. We are not saying that he is a drug dealer.
No.
I'm not saying he is, because there's no, I don't have proof of that. This is what the reporting leads you to believe. However, my point is not whether he's a drug dealer or not. I don't honestly care. I would love him if, because again, a lot of times the drug dealers are in between of fentanyl as well, and they don't know that they're giving something wrong out either. There's so many go-betweens with these things anyway. There's so many different circumstances here. I'm not going to go down every road. My point is that it's not that she has a son that is involved with drugs. It's whether that son is getting special treatment or a different set of justice compared to everybody else. Because that she is a justice, and
because she is a judge,
like Bob alluded to, are they covering for her? And is this about covering for her? Is this about getting justice? And that's the ethical question we need to talk about when we're talking about the Supreme Court justice, not whether her son is a drug dealer or not. That's beside the point. It's how it's dealt with in these circles and how justice is served in these situations, and if her son possibly could give more information. That's what they're actually looking for. The father was looking for is, can you give more information where you got them? If you are the dealer, where did you get them so we can find the person who brought the fentanyl into this country?
And from Bice's reporting in the journal Sentinel, on November 30th, Reddington's family sent a letter to Darrow's Waukesha County courtroom asking her to help out in the case by doing what she could to get her son to meet with authorities to declare his innocence or provide cops with the names of drug distributors in the area. So I don't think the Reddington family is trying to accuse anyone of wrongdoing. I think they are searching for answers. And they are not receiving cooperation from individuals that may be able to shed some light and help find those answers. And the question you ask yourself then is why? Let's head back over to the phone lines. We got Jeannie and Eau Claire calling in. Jeannie, what's on your mind today?
Hi, guys. Outstanding show today. I first heard about this whole situation this morning on Earl's show. And we don't even know about this on our side of the state. So a lot of times things that go on your side of the state never even get a minute's notice. But I found out, I find this very alarming to me as far as the highest court in the state of Wisconsin, which this seat will be sat in for 10 years. And besides that, we do not have a great recusal statements or policies or ethics on our Supreme Court as it stands today. And to me, this is very disconcerting because I feel that when you go for the Supreme Court justice, we don't want any illusions or delusions or whatever you want to call it of improprieties or protecting our loved ones, and we need clean judges without any issues to be on that highest court that will be making decisions for that impact all of the courts and all of the laws and everything in our state. So thank you for bringing this up. I have concerns about this. I think maybe she should wait for a while till this issue is cleaned up. 10-year seat is a long time if there, this is an issue and it will impact any decisions you make in the future. Thanks, guys. You're doing an outstanding job. Thank you. Bye.
Absolutely, Jeannie. Really appreciate your phone call. You could be like Jeannie, 844-967-2789. And Brian, I mean, Jeannie does speculate to a large implication of what this Supreme Court seat means. 10 years is a long time. And there are important decisions that voters will need to make on who they send to this seat through the February primary on February 21st and in the April general election on April 4th. There are consequences to elections.
To that end, I would, because I don't want her to drop out. I honestly don't. I two things. One, that it's in 4 weeks, so you're going to find out anyway. Two, you'll get a little bit more of a reading as to what the people think about this and how much people actually care about this, because that'll give you more information. But three, I'm hoping, and this is what I'm hoping, that she said that she ran away from the father of the victim here because she legally did not want to be able to compromise herself, or that there's an ongoing investigation she can't talk about. I'm hoping that she is not giving as much information because she can't, and I believe, and I'm hoping that her son is cooperating, but in such a back channel that they can't say anything. That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that the benefit of the doubt is there, and I'm hoping that actually comes out, because if we get, again, if this piece, Daniel Bice has been accused of making hit pieces and stuff. It's just the guy's reporting on things that actually happen. If this moves the needle on getting justice for these people who have died of fentanyl overdoses and maybe gets the people who are distributing fentanyl in jail, great. How this affects the Supreme Court race, I'd like to see this resolved sooner than later, or at least get a little bit more clarity on the situation. But again, you have to call into question now the possible, again, we don't really know much about this woman other than she happened to be the justice that caught the Brooks case.
She was the judge assigned the Darryl Brooks Jr. case and somewhat sprung into state and national fame because of presiding over that case. Yes. Go ahead.
The last thing is, the reason I want her to stay in is because of 6,000 votes. Brian Hagedorn won his seat by 6,000 votes. I mean, any and all things are at play here.
What do you mean by that?
Because I know that Brian Hagedorn is more of a he's painted himself as more of a moderate, although he has written some pretty interesting things in the past. But I think a lot of his moderation came from the fact that he barely squeaked through. You know, I think he realized that, you know, in order to really deliver on what was asked of him, if we're talking about people being justices, it happened, you know, in a really small margin, and maybe that affected how he judges things. I don't know, guys. We got to take everything into account.
Well, and the important thing to recall is there will be two individuals moving on from the spring primary. So in February, there will be two candidates. So as you said, voters will have the chance to determine whether or not this is a either problem or not when it comes to how they view the candidate, Judge Jennifer Darrow, for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And I wish I had as, and maybe I'm becoming more cynical in age, Brian, but I wish I had I thought I'd get you good with that one. I wish I had an optimistic view. Because I 15 months is a really long time for an investigation like this to continue. And the fact that this family has been awaiting answers for 15 months and been essentially, to this point, it sounds like stonewalled. David Reddington by the UW-Milwaukee police has been told not to get too close to this investigation, to let the professionals handle it, and he's been sitting for 15 months without answers. And if there was somebody that had answers, I would be going to the ends of the earth to find those answers. And so I hope that you're correct, that the lack of cooperation there, the lack of coordination, is because that is the way that the legal system needs to unfold for these investigations.
I hope.
But I don't know if I'm as optimistic as you, big guy. That's all I'm going to say today. And like I said, maybe it's a little cynicism with age. Who knows?
We'll take a lap next when we get back.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We'll continue the conversation when we return.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about. But you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Hello, music lovers. Tim the Polka Guy here to let you know the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show is moving to a new time slot, 12 noon every Saturday. So join me for the best in old-time music every Saturday at 12 noon right here on the new WFHR 97.5 FM and AM 1320.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Hope.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke Mathers. He's Brian Kelly. We here today on Civic Media are giving away $1 million so that money can talk. Head over to the website, civicmedia.us/million. You can learn more about the giveaway. There are a few rules and restrictions, so you'll sign up. You'll enter in your information for your small business and be entered to win a portion of the $1 million that we are giving away in free advertising today, one day only. And you could be like our friend Hawk Sullivan, owner and proprietor of Hawk's Bar on State and several other local watering holes here in Madison. We'll work with you to craft a message about your bar or small business, whatever it may be. But we can come up with fun little things like suck down drinks so we don't have to suck, like Hawk includes in all of his ads now. That was a... That was the product of a fun
harmonization.
Yeah, it was the product of a fun creative session with Hawk and yourself, Brian, and me. And we came up with, I think, a very great ad, and we have a fun time airing those. And we thank we thank Hawk for his sponsorship here on Dueling Tangents. But Bri, it's going to be a lot of fun working with all these small businesses that are signing up today to be a part of the $1 million advertising giveaway. My phone's just blowing up. Everybody is signing up.
Do it now. It's the, we can. There's only a finite amount of things we can do, and a finite amount of ad space and a finite amount of things. So, when it's gone, guys. So
yeah, if you want a piece of the creative juices that Brian and I like to just put out there in the world to get some tangents, sign up.
We might be able to tangent for you.
There you go. That's
for you. Which reminds me,
that's a tagline.
I have a friend. thank you for coming here. I have a timeshare presentation I'm about to give you. All right. So yeah, we have some things that we'd like to also brag about. Moving on from the Judge Jennifer Doro situation, I found an interesting couple of interesting headlines. Let's brag about some things.
Let's do it.
Here's an interesting headline at the in Madison, the AP News. Sorry, this is posted by AP News. Wisconsin governor takes total control of resources agency.
Wow.
That's an interesting head. That's a funny way of saying that Fred Prynne isn't in the way.
Well, there are two new appointees, because the next one that was supposed to leave the board after Fred Prynne was supposed to leave the board, they stepped down because they were like, oh, well, Fred's gone, and doesn't really matter now if I overstay my welcome. I might as well just, you know, observe the way that our democracy works here, and my term says that it ended, so I'm going to end my term and not play this weird game of constitutional chicken with the executive branch and saying, nuh-uh, you can't appoint me, you can't replace me, I'm gonna sit here and stay a while.
And when you don't have someone being really childish to lead the way and take all the heat, it kind of seems childish when it falls on you. It's so funny how the dominoes just fall right down.
Yeah,
it's like when you punch a bully in the face and they run away crying. It's crazy.
Or we don't condone violence against bullies. Talks and talks and talks
is asked to go on put up or shut up, and then they don't talk anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly, Brian. And, I mean, I would never punch you in the face, even though you like to bully me from time to time. But that's okay.
No, I'm sorry to get you to. I don't want to push you there, but it's not.
This isn't interesting. The fact that, Fred Pratt sat on that board for 20 months? 20 months overstayed his welcome, and then it gets the headline, Wisconsin governor takes control of
resources. He was into, like, 2T size already.
Yes, it was a prolonged refusal to leave. And
his overstay could learn was in the range of being able to learn how to walk.
It was almost the same length as an assembly term here in the state of Wisconsin. And the mailman
the work involved in that 20 months was really just down to like 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, that's true. But the mailman must be at the residence there, Brian, because Daisy is just going wild.
You see, Daisy's really excited about the $1 million giveaway, and she's telling everybody that if you don't sign up right now, your space could be gone. Just check it out.
It's true.
civicmedia.us/million. See, she's right here.
There she is. Yep, she's gone now. There she is. If you're watching on the Facebook live stream, you get to see
her. She's literally directly behind me, and I can't get her.
She's just being tough. But, Brian, speaking of money, like we're giving away $1 million, it seems like Wisconsin's surplus just keeps growing and growing and growing.
Wait, I thought they already had a budget surplus of like $6.4 billion.
And now, according to reporting over at the Cap Times by Jesse Apoyan, it's now projected to exceed $7.1 billion.
The best is yet to come. That's it's about a $500,000 more than Tony Evers projected in November. And he was trying to brag. Wow.
Jeez.
It's crazy.
This is insane. This surplus is just going and going again. Again, does it just mean that we weren't collecting these taxes properly under the former administrations? Because it's not like there were any new taxes raised. It begs the question.
Or perhaps maybe seeding the ground with money for new businesses to grow, to capture more revenue from the businesses growing that could possibly lead to the growth of the economy. But possibly ones that maybe, I don't know, don't fall under some big giant corporate conglomerate tax bracket where they don't actually pay any taxes. Maybe that could be it. I'm told, and again, we only have summer a couple months out of the year, but what I'm told is that if you only water one part of the lawn, that's the only part of the lawn that'll grow. But if you water the whole lawn, the whole lawn looks really good. I don't know. It's crazy.
It's weird. The Biden administration working on bringing manufacturing back to America, and the Republicans in Congress voting against that, but then focusing on entrepreneurship and small business growth has led us to where we are. But no, Brian. Let's not overconflate things. I think the Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature putting their feet up last March and just watching all this happen around them is really what led to the economic momentum that we are experiencing right now as a state.
I don't know. Maybe they should ask their own legislative legislative fiscal bureau, because that's who released the study that says we're $7.1 billion surplus. A half a billion dollars, I'm sorry, ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tony Evers, once again.
Man, he's delivering. And this is the start of his second term, Governor Tony Evers. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. But the biggest takeaway from today's show, it's the $1 million advertising giveaway, folks. Go to our website. You can check out the podcast there, but you can also sign up to receive a portion of the $1 million we are giving away in advertising. So sign up online. Only hours left. We'll be back tomorrow at 2.
Olivia from Washington. Laid off and trying to keep our little kids from realizing that mommy and daddy haven't eaten in a while.
Roger, from California. I'm grateful we could afford our son's surgery. I'm nervous that now we can't really afford food.
Daniel, from California. choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Donna from Louisiana. The storm just hit, and we went from donating to the food bank to needing it.
Keisha from South Carolina. I've been skipping meals so my two kids can eat, but filling up on water doesn't really work.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.